Fellow humans and mutants alike, my name is Kyle. I am with Danny, and we are doing it once again, a new book. It's new book day, Danny. You excited?
I am. I'm actually very excited about this one.
This one was interesting. It was fascinating, and the pacing was great. And
it worked.
It moved like a book, like an actual interesting book with flow and, you know, character development. I didn't, you know, we weren't hanging out wondering what our brother was doing for like three issues or you know, talking about our pasts with Quanon and Fallen Angels. None of that's happening here.
Yeah, she fits here. It's like they found a home for her and this was like the perfect home. I almost felt cheapened by how bad they treated Betsy in Excalibur because mm-hmm. Quanon, just this one issue, I was like, fuck, this is what Betsy should have been, like an actual leader. Like, god damn it, all right, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, that is what we're getting in this new book, Hellions. What do you know about the old Hellions back in the day? Emma Frost, Massachusetts Academy.
So I had forgotten that they actually proper did in Hellions issues with the X-Men, which is sad because I actually liked that group that they did. Not the original villain implementation, but her reiteration when she used people like Dust and Julian, or Hellion as I like to call him. Like, whatever happened to that dude? I remember he lost his arms and then he got his cool like arms that he floated with his telekinesis. But they were like prepping him to be the next, like the second coming of Jean, like in a way, kind of like the next big telepath or wielder of telekinesis, I mean. Telekinetic, yeah.
What so, did happen to
him? That's one thing I was thinking of right away. Was like, what the fuck happened to that dude? But yeah, like, he just kind of faded into obscurity after things kind of moved over the last decade. And I'm sure he's probably either been killed off and we don't know about it, and they just haven't resurrected him yet, or they've resurrected him and we just overlooked it because he maybe had like one panel. But yeah, this did make me think about him. And that group was cool when they iterated it. They had like this just kind of balance of mutant powers and characters that really fit. And I like that Emma Frost rebranded the Hellions in this way. And I kind of felt sad that the Marauders weren't Hellions. I really felt like she should have branded Marauders as Hellions. And then this should have been Marauders. The only reason this issue is called the Hellions is because Sinister is bitter about her taking Marauders. He even brings it up now. He like looks at the like fucking like the page and he's like, we can't use Marauders now, can we? And you're like, I'm like, you're right, buddy. She kind of fucked you on that.
Yeah,
he's like, I'll just jack her shit. We're gonna call my group the Hellions.
Makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, which fits. That works. At that point, that fits because that's you're playing off of the dichotomy that's put forth. But yeah, this was really exciting going into this and seeing how they broke it down and made it work.
Interesting. I'm looking at Julian. Apparently he's seen in the Academus Habitat at one point.
I thought so. I thought there was like a random panel that he popped up in, but it was so just like kind of fly by the nut at the moment kind of panel that didn't really have any weight.
Right.
So I wonder if they'll ever make him relevant again, or just the fact that he has his weird arms is just going to keep him on the sidelines. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? So this is written by Zeb Wells. What do you know about Zeb Wells? Anything?
Nothing. Nothing at all. This is my first coming into this, and Stefan Segovia, I believe, did art for Fallen Angels?
Did he?
I might be wrong. Segovia's not new. Mm-hmm. I know that I've seen that name as an artist in these Dawn of X issues at some point, but Wells is definitely someone I'm not familiar with.
Zeb Wells is a writer on Robot Chicken.
Oh, very cool.
He also did like New Mutants Volume 3 back in 2009. Random things here and there.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good New Mutants.
That's a good New Mutants, yeah. He did New Warriors with Scotty Young, some Spider-Man stuff, some Amazing Spider-Man.
Cool. So that's promising.
He's been doing some stuff. It's pretty cool.
You know what? Now that you mention that, this really does feel like a 2009 New Mutants like kind of writing style. It does have that vibe and how the characters are presented.
Yeah, so, it's very frantic. Right. I like the franticness of it, the frantic nature of it all. Really works. This episode, we are going to tackle two issues in one episode. We'll see how this goes.
Breaking format.
Yeah, man. Yeah, new thing. Breaking proto. New proto, folks.
This new proto, we're going to see if it works, but I think this will. I think just from reading these two issues back to back, because we didn't even do all four. We're just going to do half of them as a start, and it feels good. I like how it paces the information. Because even doing the two issues, I almost felt like, fuck, man, if the fourth issue was out, we could have just went through all four, and it would fit even better.
Exactly. I would have been down to just tackle this whole arc.
Less cliffhangery and more just wrap it up, and there you go. You've got a digestible size.
But no, we tease and we give you a two-parter just for you folks. So, you ready to dive into issue number one of Hellions?
Yep, let's do this. And you called it. It's definitely like a Suicide Squad, but for X-Men.
Yeah, you definitely get Suicide Squad vibes in this entire run. And we'll point out a lot of parallels, if you will, as we go along. But let's do this. We start out at Krakoa, Quiet Council, and everyone's just kind of hanging out, right? And
you skipped over the part at the beginning where they meet up
on the streets. Oh shoot, that's my bad. I am not on page number one. Yes, you are right. Sorry, JK, we start off in San Francisco. And we got like a team of they're what would you call them? They have like Apocalypse on the back of their head, so I think they're like a cultist. They're probably a weird cult of X group doing some terrorist acts, it looks like.
The way they frame them is that they're just anti-mutant radicals that are trying to celebrate the anniversary of the mutant massacre. Like what the Marauders essentially did to the Morlocks back in the day.
Celebrate some genocide with some genocide.
Yeah. And we're bringing some pretty good A-listers out here. We got Wolverine leading the charge, which is always standard for most teams nowadays. They're just like, fuck it, we'll shoehorn Logan in where we can. Logan,
put him in there.
We got Siren in there. I like that. Siren. Benji's daughter. That's kind of cool. And fucking Rock Slide in the background.
Rock Slide, man.
Now, he's iconic for this because he was a part of that original Emma Frost iteration of Hellions with like Dust and Mercury and all those people.
Yeah, and we'll see a couple of those people show up in this as well.
Yeah, so that's kind of a nice little nod to see him there. Plus, like he's always been like the Thing version of the X-Men, or the X-Men's version of the Thing. So
the Thing, yeah, pretty much.
I feel like he doesn't get enough love, I feel. But at least they're giving him some in this, just a little bit. But hopefully they'll do more later on.
We'll see. He has a short run in this. But yeah, they're doing an assault on these guys. And while they're doing this assault, it looks like they got a B-team, right, going on with...
The B team, or they're orchestrated, like maybe
they're separated. They're doing they have their missions. They're doing their thing, and we got Havoc, and we got
Nightcrawler
with them. They're taking out some people near a van, right? They're securing some weapons, and then some stragglers. It looks like, right?
Yeah, because apparently these guys are tied to this offshoot of the Hellfire Cult. Which is the kind of being run by some of the more nefarious characters now. Not to be confused with the Hellfire Club. This is like one of those weird offshoots, like with the Hellfire Brats and all that shit. So these guys are, I see, honestly though, I feel like they use so many of these random groups of radicalists and extremists that you could almost say like they're a part of all those organizations.
Yeah.
Because it's a smattering of all of them. Like it's really a little bit from the Reavers, a little bit from the Purifiers, a little bit from this, that, and the other thing, and they all come together to make one organization, which was done before in like the Messiah Complex trilogy run and all that, except it just seems like this is the natural response we're getting from the mutants unifying, so all the extremist organizations are kind of unifying into one, and Logan's team is here to pretty much just shut these guys down because they were plotting an attack. And this is like a preemptive attack to stop them from making their move on Krakoa.
Yeah. And we get some banter between Havoc and Nightcrawler. But as this happens, more or less it's a situation where it's just all like, hey, you know, don't get cocky. Pay attention. You never know when things are going to happen. And then all of a sudden...
I felt like this is that shitty Aquaman movie where they're like talking and then like instead of like transitioning, like they transition with explosions. Yes. Like they don't know how to end exposition, so they're just like, well, let's just blow it up.
How do we get out of this? I don't know. Explosion?
I like it. And they were having this moral debate between like, you know, hey, like these guys are extremists and they're bigots. They all deserve to die. Mm-hmm. And that's what Alex is saying. And, you know, of course, Kurt's going to come at it with like, you know, you don't understand. Like they're just a response to what we are. They're afraid. They're scared. They're not in their right state of mind. They're just acting out of fear. And Alex is like, fuck that. Yeah. And then that dude is like, well, fuck you. And blows up the fucking
thing. Pretty much just blows that shit up. Yeah, it's great. And it's kind
you
of.
You think Nightcrawler is dead? I thought Nightcrawler was dead.
He could be dead.
Yeah. He even said the blue guy's down. And I'm like, is that mean dead, dead? Because I guess they'll resurrect him.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, he's dead. His body fucking flailed and limped. I'm pretty sure he's down. But yeah, it's kind of teasing Alex's
mentality
and what's to come, more or less. And as this explosion happens, I'm pretty sure Nightcrawler's down. And Havok's still alive, right? They kind of pull him up by the head and whatnot.
After they kick him a bunch
of times. Why not? And he's not taking it anymore, pretty much. And
he snaps.
Yeah, he snaps. He just goes off on the two guys, and then the one in front of him. He says, "I'm gonna have fun with you," which is there's that intent for the council to bring up those murder charges right there.
Now they mentioned line. It later, but I didn't catch it here. But I notice it now. He straight up goes Piccolo on those arms of those guys right there, like he's Raditz or something, and just vaporizes their arms like they're fucking Piccolo, man. Both of their arms get destroyed with that first attack. And then he grabs that dude. And like you said, he's got a tip to murder this dude. And he grabs him by the head and starts frying his head with his kinetic energy.
Yeah, it just starts melting his head. It's bubbling up a little bit, the skin. You know, it's like when you do some Peking chicken, the key is to like get under the skin. So when you broil it, it bubbles up. That's what's happening here with this guy's head.
With a good I like that. It's good. Like 8 S's in that. That's beautiful.
I smelled it. But yeah, he's searing his fucking face off, and that's when Logan kind of comes in and is like, "Yo, man, calm down, yo." And
Rock side grabs him and he says, "Get off me!" And then Logan says this, and this was really weird. He says, "You can't kill him, kid." And I'm like, but wait a second.
Wait.
when you are half a torso in X-Force in that fucking science facility, you were pretty gung-ho about murdering all those dudes and did so.
Yeah.
Who is this Wolverine?
It's kind of weird, right? Because they are kind of like two-faced a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I get he's putting on a front for the rest of everyone, and that like X-Force is like a special ops organization. Mm-hmm. So like they get to act with impunity, but still, like, I almost feel like this narrative from Wolverine doesn't work as well as if they should have just kept using Nightcrawler here, like, because he's getting helped up by Siren, and so he's not dead, but I feel like him taking this role would have echoed better. Just hearing Wolverine say it, and I just picture that half-torso Wolverine with that crazy smile. Right? You remember that smile he had when he started killing him? He's, like, holding his body up without his legs and just one arm, and the other arm's just like, stab, 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 murder, murder, murder. Wolverine. I'm like, this doesn't echo as well. It doesn't land as well.
It's weird.
It seems like he was out of it. Like he goes, what did I do? Like, sorry.
What are you talking about? What's going on?
Now, did they ever resolve that weird mental switch on Havok? Like, remember back in A plus X or something like that? Axis, where they took Charles Xavier's brain and put it inside Red Skull. And then the Red Skull used that power to emotionally swap everybody. Like, Sabretooth became a good guy. Havok became, like, a bad guy. A bunch of people got reversed.
Switcheroo thing, yeah. I do remember that vaguely.
I know they reversed that on Sabretooth, and he went back to being evil, but did they? I don't think they ever did it on Havok. I think Havok...
I don't think so. And they were teasing that in, I believe, what was that? X-Men? Original X-Men? Where he was kind of acting...
He seemed torn against himself, and it feels like they touch on it more here, but never really fully acknowledge it. Yeah. I wonder if they, in the end of all of this, that they'll point to that. I feel like maybe we're leading towards that. I hope so, because I have no idea what happened with that. At that point, I kind of was like, eh, yeah, you're putting Charles Xavier's brain in the Red Skull. Like, that's dumb. Fuck.
Rude. Yeah, I'm out.
Bad ideas much, I guess. All right.
Yeah. So, let's move forward. We got a Havoc who doesn't know what's going on, but we cut to Welcome Home. The Island of Krakoa offers a home and a fresh start for all mutants. Easier said than done. And this is where we cut to the council, and this is where the council's kind of mulling over kind of what to do with these people that we're not really. I guess we do. We saw the title page in the cast, so we do know who they are. But they're just kind of mulling over, who are these people? Should we throw them in the pit? Essentially, we get a Sinister mentioning, put them in the pit, just exile them. But they're going over this idea and this concept of rehabilitation.
Yeah, Magneto's already leading the charge with just like, hey, we make Krakoa for all mutants, not even the inconvenient ones. We have to deal with them appropriately.
Yeah.
But then it gets hijacked by this epaulets, like, fucking one-upmanship from Exodus and Mr. Sinister that just start arguing over their epaulets.
Right. And then we even got, what's her name by him? Just like, kill me.
Mystique, yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll get to that. Eventually she'll get what she wants.
Yeah, she'll get what she wants. Yeah, so, Emma puts him back on point, and that's where we cut to the team, or I guess the convicts, right? We got a good amount of familiar faces here. First being Empath up in front, and we get,
and that's OG Hellion, like Empath is original.
Yes, OG Hellion back in the day, yeah. Oh. And
we got Wild Child next to him. That's
Wild Child,
cool.
Yes. And then we
get, I'm a big fan of him just from Age of Apocalypse. They gave him like this whole like kind of back. See, this is why Wild Child doesn't work, because Sabretooth's gone. Without Sabretooth, there's no one really to rein in Wild Child and play the role of Alpha and kind of use him.
Right.
So that's why he's pretty much here, because like no one can put him in check, and he's literally just an animal.
Yes, and then next we got this is a weird one. Nanny and Orphan Maker.
Which I am zero familiar with.
It's so weird. It's such a weird concept though, right?
Yeah, I wonder what Nanny looks like underneath that, if she's like kind of like a MODOK. Like she's like an egg person almost. Right? Yeah. And doesn't Orphan Maker kind of look like a wannabe version of like Armin Zoloff?
A little bit of Zoloff, a little bit of
because of the armor, the purple and like the point to the head, yeah. That's very Zoloff, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got
Scalp Hunter.
Scalp Hunter, yeah. Scalp Hunter is interesting.
Which they change his name in the next issue to Great Eagle, and they never explain it.
Do they? I missed that. I gotta point that out. It's interesting. But
because I guess Scalp Hunter is offensive. But I mean, like,
really
generic Native American names to cover it should be just as offensive. Right? Like, are you telling me that Scalp Hunter is less offensive or more offensive than Warpath? Like, are you kidding me? Like, fucking Thunderbird? Like, what are you talking about? That's no different than, like, those names are, like, great. That you might as well just call them Apache fucking Chief at this point if we're going to call them Gray Eagle. Thundering Bull. See, it's not offensive anymore. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
We're gonna phone that one. Wait, classic Disney phoning in their social justice narrative. we're gonna do it because we want to keep people happy, but we're not gonna put any effort into
no
it.
No effort whatsoever.
Yeah. And then Alex, who's about 95% subterfuge,
total subterfuged Alex in the back.
Yeah.
But yeah, we start off. This is a literal like Suicide Squad moment where we get these like little like snippets of why they're kind of here, right?
Yeah, why they broke the law or like, you know, problematic.
Yeah, and we got a empath hanging out with
Is this Riptide?
Is it Riptide? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you recognize him from that amazing first class X-Men movie where they utilized him so well? You know, the dude with the tornado hands. I can't believe they put him in that movie. They had so many cool people they could have went with from the Hellfire Club, but instead they're like, fuck it, Riptide.
Riptide, man.
Good time.
But more or less, we get him kind of approaching Empath, going like, yo.
Or not Riptide, Jetstream.
Jetstream? Is it Jetstream?
Yeah, that's Jetstream. But I mean, they're like this. But yeah, that's Jetstream. I always get those two confused.
And more or less, we get Empath just like fucking with people. He's just fucking over, pretty much forcing people to do his bidding, more or less.
Yeah, he's just playing with people's emotions because he has no ability to understand the depth of what he's doing. He's essentially like a child with a gun.
Yeah, he's pretty much...
He's making people fight, and he's laughing about it.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
And then fucking Jetstream shows up, and he's like, knock it off! You're fucking up! They're gonna get... Because he's a former Hellion as well.
Yes.
But they go back, they have history, and he's like trying to talk sense into him. And instantly, Empath is like, I'm going to make you fight, too.
Yeah.
And you're all my marionettes, dance my puppets, dance.
Yeah, and that's when we get Glob and Armor coming in. It's like, yo, knock it off. And he gets Jetstream to do his bidding. And he says, oh, yeah, that's fun. That was fun. And we cut to the Empath problem. And more or less, this talks about how... they kind of looked at his brain. They did like a psychic slice of his brain, and they're all like, this motherfucker is pretty fucked up.
But the beauty is that they point out that it wasn't him naturally. Like the part here is a violent psychopath was not gifted with the X gene. The X gene created a violent him. Psychopath.
Product of his genetics or environment. Would it be an environment created by his mutant genetics? It's weird.
It's basically like when you're a kid, you use your empathy to understand what you did wrong. When you piss off a friend or when you screw over someone, you like look at it and you try to be empathic and say like, you play devil's advocate. You're like, well, maybe that wouldn't work so well for me. But for him, since his empathy... He doesn't have that. Like, he can do something shitty to someone and use his empathic powers to make them happy. So you don't get that cued response to develop off of. The social cues never happen. Mm-hmm. So Empath is literally broken due to his power because he'll never have to deal with, like, the emotional fallout of pissing someone off or hurting them or, you know, going too far with trying to get back at them. It's crazy. I never looked at it that way, but when they broke it down here, his sadism and devotion to that becomes so engrossing and corrupting to his fabric of who he is, and he can't do anything about it because his mind is tuned to circumvent that every time.
Yep. It's pretty interesting.
I just thought he was crazy. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking monster or an asshole, but it's his powers are turning him into a monster and asshole.
Yeah, if only you got that X gene later in life. Too bad.
Or just not this kind of X gene,
or something else completely. Fuck.
Yeah, like he was dealt the bad card. I mean, it's cool power, but when it hijacks you like this, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah, it's true. So moving on, we go to Orphan Maker and the Nanny, and we got like Angel and Beast fighting here. They're fighting Orphan and Nanny pretty much.
No, they're just fighting. They're just fighting Orphan Maker. They're trying to put him down for a nap, and he's like, "I don't want a nap."
Yeah, he's trying to get a nap, and he's like, "I don't want it." He's like, "I want my nanny." He just throws, slams Angel down.
Yeah, Warren gets wrecked.
Fucks Beast up too.
Craters him, but he's got super strength because of his wings. So it's like, he'll survive. It's hollow bones.
And he's like, I think it's time. He's like, fine. All right, let it out. Beast is like, let her out. And that's when we get Nanny. Nanny's coming back, and they're just like, yeah. Weird relationship between the two.
It's like if the Rocketeer was shaped, it was like, if like Humpty Dumpty and the Rocketeer fucked, and this was their kid, that's the Nanny.
That's the Nanny, yeah. Yeah, what do you? I don't know too much about these characters outside of their. They just want like to take care of children.
Well, what Nanny wants to do, and the purpose of Orphan Maker is to go around to other mutant families and essentially kill the parents and take the kids.
Take the kids,
Kind
yeah.
of bit of a Pied Piper situation with children. Like, they want to take, she wants all the kids
She
to
wants the
herself,
kids, and then Orphan
and
kills
Orphan
them.
Maker, as his namesake would lead you to believe, obviously he's the one who does the killing.
And yeah, we got Beast and Warren just kind of looking over, just like, wow.
Yeah, because
Beast is
she
like,
comforts him
yeah.
in song, and she
Yeah,
goes in this
it's
really dark song.
dark. It's weird.
And a little creepy too about like drink from the nanny, wet your thirsty tongue. I'm like, drink. Oh man, we free the young.
You free the young. Yeah, I'm like, what does this mean?
It's like us as the reader are totally mirrored off of Beast and Warren right here. It's
Yes.
literally like they're looking at each other, go, what?
We are
Wow.
equally as confused as they are, for sure.
Like, this is awkward. We'll leave them alone.
Yeah, so they got problems. They got problems as well. But we cut to the healing gardens. And we got Sage given
Celia
some
Reyes.
pills. Celia Reyes giving some pills to our good friend Wild Child Kyle.
Kyle Gibney.
Kyle Gibney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild Child's an interesting character. What do you like? You did mention like he is seems kind of like he needs what's his name? Oh God, I'm drawing a blank right now.
Beast, not Beast, Sabretooth.
Sabretooth, yeah.
Victor Creed, yeah. Well, because
Victor.
they also have their harkening back to Department H and a lot of that stuff, which actually comes into play right here with Sage, where she says, you know, hey, I pulled some strings and used like the Marauders to score some old school Department H drugs for specifically made for Wild Child, because Wild Child essentially is like he's like a miniature version of Sabretooth that's more feral.
Yes.
So it's like his mental capacities are pretty much out, and he's just animalistic in his approach. And these meds, data in the animal side and force him to become more coherent. But like with most medication, it puts you in a bit of a stupor, and that's the problem here, is that they kind of have him in timeout all the time because he lashed out way too many times.
Right. And as she tries to give some pills, they notice that this motherfucker's been burying his pills in
Yeah,
the
it's like he's been digging over here. What has he been doing? And she's like, wait a second. They're all the pills, lots of them. Oh my God. And he
dirt.
instantly is just like, yeah, I've been fucking with you. He just goes into beast mode and is like fucking like growling at them and lunging to like attack. And I love saying, she's like, the only reason I brought you here, Celia, which is funny because she's like a doctor. So you assume, okay, she brought Celia for her doctor expertise and see if she could talk on this. But she's like, no, the reason I brought you here is to do your thing, the fucking mute thing that you could do, create force fields. Because this fucker's about to go wild.
Yeah,
He does.
run.
Dude, look at those eyes. They're just beady.
Dude, yeah, he's just like savage.
He's like, I'm going to eat you if I can. Oh,
Oh,
man. And
man.
even her energy shield has taken a beating. He's like fracturing it in places. I like
Yeah.
that. That's vicious.
Savage for sure. But next we cut to John Graycrow, aka
Scalp hunter.
Scalp Hunter.
I'm a call now. I don't give a
Scalp
shit.
Hunter, yeah,
That's way
Eagle.
more.
God
He's
damn
a
it.
fucking like a mercenary. Like he's a literally a headhunter. Like of course I'm gonna call him Scalp hunter. Why not?
Yeah, it
Sitting
makes
on,
perfect sense.
and he's sitting on the beach
He's just
fixing
hanging
his
out,
gun.
fixing his gun, cleaning his gun.
One of the Morlocks found him though.
Yeah, and the Morlocks come up to him. He's like, "Do you know what day it is, John?" He's just like, "I'm cleaning my guns. It's what I do."
It's the day I clean my guns.
Yeah.
And then he immediately says, same as every day.
But yeah, they're like, "It's the anniversary of the mutant massacre."
Yeah.
He's like, "Romantic." And
Yeah, Callista's
Callista's,
is telling him, like, take him, Morlocks. Those who fall will be reborn. And it's like, well, what? Why are you sacrificing all these Morlocks who are pretty much useless and feckless? Like, what's the point? And two, if anyone's going to take him, it would be you, Callisto. You're pretty much the only one with the combat skills to defeat this dude who has not only a healing factor, but like intuitive combat skills that could rival Callisto. So it's like, why is she even sacrificing her Morlock friends like this?
Put up a shield.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they that's pretty much his introduction to what's going on.
But yeah, they don't even show it, and they just come back to the council with Storm just going like, "Your tag defense is Morlocks.
Haven't you caused enough pain? Them yet again. Haven't you caused them enough fucking pain?" And he's like, "Yeah, hey, I guess not. Whatever.
Guess not. Yeah."
I like it how they like the narrative too. It's like you attack to victimize these innocent Morlocks.
Yeah, when they kind of started it, it looks like.
Yeah, and he don't even care. He's just like, "Yeah, whatever."
It's like, "I'll take it. I'll take the blame. I don't give a fuck."
Man, look how intense the subterfuge is getting on Alex back there, though. Jesus.
So much. He's going to be shrouded.
He's so sad. He's like, I didn't mean to disfigure that dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, as Apocalypse and Magneto are kind of talking, we get Sinister just kind of going, stop. Going to stop you right there. Back off. Hold on. Who's back there? Don't be shy.
Who's in that subterfuge back there?
Yeah.
Come
out of your subterfuge. Yeah, get in the sand. Get in the light. Come on. Get out of that subterfuge. Don't be shy.
I love Scott. He's like, Alex, get out of there.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing?
Seems weird. Rather than circle of judgment without me.
Right. But yeah, we get Scott kind of freaking out. Just like, what's going on? He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's
not one of these monsters. You fucking... We're right here, Scott. Jesus.
Right? It's like, look at these disgusting fucks. Alex isn't one of these assholes. Look at these assholes. These fucking dirty ass pieces.
They're unsavable.
That's what it feels like.
Send them to the center of Krakoa and let's be done with it.
Oh, man. But yeah, he's kind of just going like, it's okay. And that's when we get Jean kind of going like, yo, man, he like disfigured these. He took off these dude's limbs. Yeah, two limbs and one guy's face is pretty much like Deadpool's.
They had to trigger for life.
Yeah.
And Scott's like, what? When did this happen? And even Alex is like, I don't remember. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it happened, I guess. I'll take the blame. And
Kurt was there. He was like, I was there. He was going to fucking kill them if Logan didn't step in and stop him. And then he even echoes that by saying, Logan stopped him.
Yeah. Logan. That's saying something.
Yeah, he's like, he was worse than Logan. Like, easier to reel in than fucking Wolverine.
Yeah.
Or harder, I mean. Yeah.
And that's when Magneto kind of mentions if he did that, he would have went to the pit. And Cyclops kind of gets on board. And he's just like, all right, you're doing a weird eye thing. I'll do a weird eye thing. I guess we have no choice.
Yeah, he would have turned against them and like fought them if they would have tried to put Alex in there.
Yeah.
And Sinister's like, no. Like, I'm not trying to, like, this is okay. Like, and this is what he was starting in the beginning when he was talking to Exodus before they started fighting over who had the better epaulets. He was trying to say, like, there's an opportunity here for something bigger and grander, and I feel like I'm just the man for the job.
Yeah, this is when he whips out his, like, PowerPoint, and he's like, let me tell you about my plan for Iraq, Halliburton.
Yeah, and so, this guy says, so clean up those poopy pants, Scotty. I'm here to save the day.
I love that.
I love how Sinister talks to people in the Dawn of X.
He's so sassy now.
He's very fun. He's very much like Deadpool.
Yes. Yes, indeed. What is he talking about? He's more.
He says they're not predators. They're not hopeless. Like these are just square pegs that need to find that are being shoved against round holes. Like they just need to be repurposed. And we could find a home for these outcasts.
I like that Nanny makes Orphan cover his ears in the background.
Yeah, because Scott Hunter is swearing. And
it's yeah, he's funny. Talking, saying some shit. But yeah, and more or less, they're kind of getting to the point that they kind of need another law to kind of fill in this kind of this understanding that they're coming to during this meeting. And that's where, Xavier's like, yeah, we need it to be a law, but it's not been codified yet.
Yeah, basically, like, they need a foundation for their team, which is what Sinister's trying to monologue. Even fucking Apocalypse, who's long-winded sometimes, is like, get to your fucking point, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna punch you if you take any longer to say what you're trying to say. You're being too verbose and, like, fucking just esoteric with the way you're trying to go to it. But, you know, in the end, they all seem to side with Sinister. Except for Scott. Scott's like, this is a terrible idea. But
yeah.
Alex was like, just let him have it, man. This is all we could do. It's either this or the pit, man.
Yeah, it's either this or the pit. So let him do this. Let him do this thing. Yes. So we cut to... an excerpt. And what is... It's more or less the minutes of the meeting, right? And just kind of sums up the meeting and the note and what happened, more or less. Anything to take from this,
it's the what they're trying to avoid and try to make happen so that all these individuals don't end up in the pit of exile is that human casualties need to be dealt with, the violent overreactions need to be dealt with, the therapeutic value in the carnage of putting them on the front lines and sending them out might be one of the things that could mitigate those two issues. If maybe they put them in situations where they kind of have to break loose, but they're not particularly killing people or being too or crossing the line of violence.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Sinister gets his team. He made a good deck. PowerPoint was on point. Hey, that's probably why it's called PowerPoint. And
there you go.
He won the pitch. He got a Series A financing for his startup.
He's good to go.
He's good to go. So we got the team together. Team is good to go. All they need is a leader.
One more member.
And that's when we cut to Quanon just hanging out. Showing off her back muscles and whatnot. pretty tight.
She's just standing there trying to figure out what to do since Fallen Angels ended.
It's just like, I lost my book. I don't know what's up, man. I need another book so I could talk about my past for like 6 issues.
Can you find a place for me? I have 0 place here.
Yeah. And so she talks to Scott.
He wants to implement her as a babysitter, not only for Sinister, but his brother. She's supposed to be his brother's keeper.
Yes. Yes. Playing 2 roles here. Watching the team, as well as keeping an eye on his brother. And I imagine she'll relay information over time.
I feel like the following page, or the previous page that kind of broke down the information, was kind of almost like the dossier that Scott gave to her. Because I like her response to it. He's like, yeah, it's simple enough. Sinister now wields a team of unstable mutants under the guise of therapy. I get it. And you need a babysitter. I'm your gal.
Yep. Pretty much. And I like how she even mentions that she can't be trusted, or hints that she can probably not be trusted 100%.
Which she is like telling him straight up, like, if trouble arises and I have to handle it my way, you have to understand that lines may be crossed and that's just what I do. And he's like, I can live with that. Scott's like, I can totally live with that.
And we cut to the team forming with Quanon, and this is her suicide moment where Psylocke's all like, this is Katana. She's got my back. I advise you not to get killed by her. Her sword traps the souls of its victims. And you pat Ric Flair on the back, and you're like, "Good job, buddy. You earned that paycheck." God, that movie was terrible. But that's what this moment kind of feels like, where she's just like, listen up, or Sinister's just like, listen up, this is going on.
She's going to be very, very, not only in the visual iconography, but just the story element.
Yeah.
We're tit for tat on that one. But see, this is, if this was the Suicide Squad movie, it wouldn't have sucked. Because these characters, this team, this presentation, this plot, all fits. And there's like a narrative here that makes sense. Even the fact that they're just like a bunch of like rambunctious, you know, just problematic mutants, it still works towards the greater goal of what they're trying to do. And if you put someone like Sinister in the background, that just fits even more. So it's like they're getting it. They're synergizing these characters well, and it's funny because they're almost characters that by themselves, you'd be like, how do they work together? And now that you see it like this, like, it fucking worked. It worked perfectly.
It works.
Yeah. That's because they made the Suicide Squad Foundation as like the structure that kind of holds it all together. And these guys are the right characters to be throwing in this. I'm just glad they found something to do with Psylocke.
Yeah. Yeah, Psylocke finally gets some love. And yeah. I dig, I'm getting a lot of 90s vibes from her in these in this artwork. A lot of these poses.
Oh, very much so. They've definitely been rehashing a lot of iconic Psylocke side steps and back poses.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of hip going on in these Psylocke poses here.
Yeah, Psylocke was definitely a fave in the 90s, so I'm not mad. Mad at all, but more or less Sinister's going over the plan. They are going to a house, one of his old houses. Where was it at again? I forget.
It was actually Nebraska? The old orphanage that Scott and Alex are from.
Yeah. Grew up, yeah.
But they were separated.
And they're going to go blow up some clones hanging out in the basement.
As Mr. Sinister used to use the Marauders in the form of clones after a while. Because it eventually hit the point where it was like, you know what? Wielding the actual Marauders is too difficult. Half of them have died. Why don't I just make obedient clones? There we go. Problem solved.
Then done. Yeah. So, we get a little banter between Conan and Sinister a little bit. But more or less, we get Sinister being, I don't get where they're going with Sinister, honestly. It seems
he's
like,
very cryptic. He's like, hey, I need you guys to go investigate this orphanage. It's going to be a mission. Go take care of it. All right, bye.
Bye.
And, yeah. And everyone's just like, well, wait. Like, what are we specifically investigating there? And he's like, you know, there could be some rampant clones. You got to probably put them down. They're not technically mutants. They're not technically people. So, you know, have at it.
You're good.
You guys get your therapy. Everyone gets to get some murder out. I get to sweep one of my fuck-ups under the rug, and we call it a good day. That's what I got the vibe was. I was like, okay, Sinister clearly has a fuck-up here that he's trying to deal with. We get revealed later on there's more to it, but this is really all it comes across as. It's like, all right, you guys go take care of this. I'm going to give you as little information as possible. And Psylocke's like, transport's leaving at 5. I'm like, all right, it is Suicide Squad. We're just, they're like, there's just little explanation. And it's like, do your fucking job. You're criminals. I don't want to hear any talk back from you.
We get a little bit from Empath and Scalp Hunter. Pretty much Scalp Hunter just all like, if you use your powers on the team, I am going to shoot you between the eyes. And it's a little foreshadowing happening right there. So remember this moment.
Yep. An Empath is celebrating because he's like, man, I can't fucking get away. Can't wait to get away from these fucking trees. Yeah. It's like hates trees. I love it. And then we get an appearance of another Sinister.
Yeah. Oh, this is weird, right? And it's scary. I like his like reaction to it. He's like, dude, guys, you scared me.
He's like, one of my clones is here.
He looks
sorry.
Like he's fainting. Oh, that's funny.
Oh no wait, that's not. Oh, I'm looking at it from the wrong view. I thought he was responding and that was a different Sinister.
Nanny.
Okay, because the angle they were showing him at was like his hair looked shorter.
It looked like a different haircut, right?
Yeah, and his coloring is lighter.
It still kind of looks different.
yeah, it looks like it was two dudes. But now I get it. She's talking to him, and she says, "You're a dirty man, Mr. And I'm like, oh, my God, you scared me.
Yeah.
Weird egg lady. Oh, man.
It's rude, yeah. And then, like, instantly with some subterfuge from Orphan Killer.
Yeah, because he's like, he's kind of being rude to her, and he's like not having it.
And he's like, "What? Nope, don't do that."
He's like, "Peter, this doesn't feel safe at all," because that's an Orphan Maker's real name. He's like, "This doesn't feel safe at all. Maybe you should back up a little bit."
Yeah, and weird shit's happening. We got Havoc's just looking over his shoulder, and Wild Child's just like growling, like barely hanging in there, like about to like probably attack or something. He's just like, "Is this normal? What's going on?"
It's okay. The animal aspect of like you need to show dominance to him, or he's gonna try to alpha the fuck all over you. And Scout Hunter knows that because he has history with Wild Child.
Yeah.
So he immediately pops in and he's like, "I got him," and he fucking like calms him down.
but
then it's like instantly he just chills and then he's like lashes out at Scout Hunter now.
He just attacks him. He's just like, "Damn it, Gal. Son of a bitch," he just slams
him. And he's like, "I said I fucking got it," and just fucking craters him into the ground. And Alex is like, "Holy fuck, they're killing each other." And Psylocke's like, no. They have healing factors.
They'll be fine.
They both have healing factors. Like, you just let him work it out. He's establishing dominance. Let him do it.
So tell me, is this like a moment? I like this panel where he's just like, "How did you get roped into this, Alex?" To Psylocke,
and she just stares at him.
She just stares at him.
Doesn't say anything. Doesn't like her eyes don't move. Her face doesn't move, and he's just like,
"Okay." He's just like, "Yeah." So it seems like he's the outcast of the group.
Yeah. And she's just staring at him intently. Even as he's walking away, she's consumed in subterfuge, and he's still like looking at her uneasy. Like, as we see Scout Hunter chucking Wild Child onto the plane, he's like, "Get your ass on the plane! I'm done with your bullshit."
That's funny.
I'm loving the group dynamic. This is how the Suicide Squad kind of would work. They would all be at fucking each other's throats, but it's like the threat of Doom is really the only cohesive glue holding them together.
Yeah.
And Psylocke is onto this because she's like, "Wait, this mission sounds ridiculously stupid. Like, there's something is not going on, or something's not right here."
Yeah.
And he throws up a screen with a bunch of the older Marauders, like a little, like, kind of profile view.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of giving her, like, kind of a bit of a prelude of like, "You're going to be dealing with some stuff from the past, and you might be going straight into the pits of hell for me, so have fun with that."
Yep.
Good luck.
Enjoy that. And he just bounces with all those silly things.
It was really funny. It was just like, "Yeah, it's gonna be really ridiculous, so good luck with it. I'm out of here." And she's like, "They didn't give me any info. Fuck you.
I
know less."
"I said you're not telling me anything, and you're still not telling me anything.
Cryptic metaphor."
And I'm off.
Yeah. Cut to them in the orphanage, and it's like, what is going on in this place? Yeah. You just see all these weird, like, crazy stairs, like an M.C. Escher painting. It's like a pool that what appears to be a blood. Yeah. And then there's just a bunch of people hanging from ropes.
Some legs.
Yeah, some legs. You don't even know if they're attached to bodies.
Nope, not yet. we see these bodies, and they're being messed with. They're being manipulated.
Yeah, they clearly look like the blood is dripping out of them because they're cut in a bunch of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then some magic happens on this hand, like almost like something like Doctor Strange waving his circles around.
Yeah.
And the eyes open up on the bodies. Like, they come to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as if they're almost like some sort of blood puppets. Notice that the body doesn't have a, like, the mouth gets, like, fuses together and then turns into a weird screaming mouth. And then they're healed
completely.
Yeah. And then then whoever it is puts them back to sleep.
And then they go back to
sleep. We just see their hands. Then revealing. Madeline Pryor, the Godwin Queen.
Ooh.
Cable's mom,
fucker of summers.
Not Jean Grey, Jean Grey.
Not Jean Grey, Jean Grey. Yes.
"Oh, Jean, I miss you." Well, that's great because I am literally just like Jean, 100%.
Yeah, you're like Jean.
I can start dating without any like qualms.
I love you forever. Oh, Jean's back.
He didn't even question it. It's like you've been in love with a girl, then she dies, and then all of a sudden a different person shows up that looks identical to her, and you just like roll with it. Because if there's like it was meant to be.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't get, yeah. Yeah, the whole Madeline Pryor thing is bizarre.
I've never liked it. I've never liked her. I've never liked the concept of her. I never liked the cable shenanigans that got tied into it, because then the weird, like, fucking time travel shit came from that.
Yep.
She is a MacGuffin within a world of MacGuffins.
She's the mother of MacGuffins.
So this is where the issue ends, with the reveal of her and her magic powers in full swing, and a bunch of dead marauders hanging from holes. It appears to be some of them are missing their body parts, too. Like
some missing, got some holes in it. Yeah.
Chunks of their chests and shit, yeah. Yeah, don't know what's going on. But they've definitely been fucked with by her. And Madeline Pryor is on the board now, ladies and gentlemen.
Madeline Pryor, folks. But yeah, and it should be interesting, but that's where this issue ends. What do you think of this first issue?
It was a good start.
It's a good start.
Got me hyped. I think that the reveal of Madeline Pryor, as messy as it is, still got me intrigued, and I would like to see how it plays out, because I have a feeling it's not going to be a long-term thing. It's going to be something that gets wrapped up, and she'll get written off again. I don't understand how Madeline Pryor even works, because she's not... She's a mutant, but only in the sense of being a clone mutant.
She's a clone of mutant, yeah.
She's also messed with in the sense of magical energies that have corroded her and corrupted her into a way of being something even more than just a mutant clone. So
she's like a psychic vampire, really, but it always like it comes off magical and mystical.
Yeah. Well, no, that's you're thinking of Selene as the psychic vampire. She was the Black Queen at first. And then Madeline became the new Black Queen.
She's literally
just Jean with magic powers.
Jean with magic powers. Yeah, it should be interesting how she folds into all of this, but...
But I love the potential for the team. Mm-hmm. I love the narrative that they're using. I like that they're finally using Sinister, because he already, from the get-go, Donna of X was a good start. So this is good. This is a good first step forward. It's better than Nightcrawler issue one, that's for damn sure.
Oh yeah, man, what was that? I still don't know what that was. I'm confused.
Cable even Cable issue one. Both Fallen Angels and Cable issue one were far below what issue one of Hellions brought to the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Agreed. But let's move forward, shall we? Move into issue two.
Oh shit, this is radical.
Here we go, man. This isn't it. We're good. We're going. We're still going. We're not. This train is moving. I can't speak. I can't talk today. Tonight is a bad night for me to do a 2-hour podcast. But let's do it.
Right? The night we take on two issues, your words have turned against you.
Let's cut into this. God damn it. Let's get into this. Those whose violence you do not understand have often seen horrors you cannot imagine. Nightcrawler. Good quote.
That's definitely a Nightcrawler quote. Like if you'd have thrown that in a book, I'd be like, someone stole that from Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt said, where'd you get that?
Yeah. Not Kurt Vonnegut, Kurt Wagner.
About Kurt Vonnegut? I love Kurt Vonnegut. Great writer. Nah, man.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, but he's no Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Idle Hands. The island nation of Krakoa offers a fresh start for all mutants, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter if they have no intention of ever changing. But Mr. Sinister has a plan for those mutants, including the theoretical reformed Havoc and reluctant team watchdog Psylocke. Channel their destructive energy into productivity. And now the Hellions are on their way to destroy Sinister's defunct cloning lab in the basement of the orphanage where Havoc grew up. Man, could this day get more depressing.
It's funny. It's like you read that, and if you step away and think about it, it sounds ridiculous. But then if you get the framing and the premise, it fits. It's almost as if they've got the branding down for the Hellions and how it's going to move forward. And this sets that kind of echo moving through the issue. You're like, all right, this is ridiculous. I can accept that, and I can accept this team, and I can accept what we're doing. Let's do it. I'm psyched.
You see that, Fallen Angels? That's how you progress a story.
Yeah, this is how you develop characters that don't even need developing.
You're like, Teen Howard, too.
Yeah.
Take notes. I hope Exosaurus gets some of this pacing.
And notice how Scalp Hunter is now called Great Crow instead of Scalp Hunter. Yep. In last issue, they called him Scalp Hunter in the panel, in the icon panel. Probably were like, whoa, we got to step back from that one.
I wonder if they got flack for that. I'm curious.
They're going to get flack for everything. They probably are getting flack for Great Crow, but they're just like, whatever. Yeah, they're right? Like, we tried.
Let me see if anything shows up in the news. Yeah, it seems like they quietly did it, according to some people. No, there was no like huffing and puffing after issue one. No, like,
no one posted on Twitter, I can't believe that Disney is allowing this to happen.
Yeah, so this is definitely, they had this planned out. They're like, all right, we're going to slowly change this.
Even the Redskins changed their name.
Oh man.
Yeah, the Chiefs didn't, so who knows?
The Chiefs didn't. Questions. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into this. Omaha, Nebraska. We cut to some police officers just hanging out, talking shit about mutants, pretty much.
The guy calls them muties. Yeah. And the other guy corrects him and says they're not called muties anymore, Carl. And I'm like, what? Well, so like, is society like PC about muties now in their world? Like, is it mirroring our world where it's, you can't even say things like that?
Yeah, of course not. You can't. They're underprivileged, according to them, even though they're the greatest nation in the world now. You can't mess with those underprivileged people that are saving our lives with this, all these drugs.
Yeah, the most they're like born into the most powerful godlike beings in the world, and it's like, don't call them beauties, man. That's inappropriate. Check your privilege.
Check your privilege, motherfucker.
Steve's right.
Oh man.
And the other guy just rolls through it and says, fuck it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're beauties with diplomatic immunity. Even worse.
Yep. Oh man. And they roll through posing. Their finest pose as they roll on through to the
look how starchy those gloves are on Impact. My God.
Oh yeah, look at those things flail.
God, Jesus Christ, he needs to use more fabric softener when he's washing clothes.
Someone needs a costume update from the 80s.
And Wild Child looks incredibly somber.
Right? He looks very at peace right now, which is
not... Or not even at peace, it almost looks like he's sad. Like he's trying down to cope with something on the inside, like he's struggling.
Thinking
he feels bad or remorse for something. I don't even know.
That is weird. Yeah, he should be more like tense, I feel.
Like excited, like what's going on? Like, it'd be funnier if he was like sniffing like someone's leg. Mm-hmm. Get him down on all fours, but soon he will be with this dog we're about to deal with.
But Psylocke kind of just talks to the chief dude, and as this is happening, we get Wild Child. There's a police with a police dog in the
with a canine unit. Yeah, they're both growling at each other, sizing each other up, and this is perfect because in tandem, the police chief is like saying like, hey, you know, like you guys are gonna work under our jurisdiction.
Yes,
this is America. You guys are sovereign. Like this is, you gotta play by our rules. And she's like, dude, my crew does not play by rules. Like, I get you.
I get what you're saying.
This ain't going to happen. And instantly, the cop is like, heal. And he gets his dog to chill out. And this is great because then Wild Child's like, wait, I understand now. Like, the dog's not the alpha pack leader. This dude's the pack leader.
This is the alpha.
He's like, you alpha, bro?
And he's like, what?
And then he goes off like Scalp Hunter on him, where he attacks him just like Scalp Hunter to establish like who's in charge. And once again, Scalp Hunter's like, God damn it, like, stop doing this. And has to fucking crater him into the ground again.
Yeah, just pushes, forces his face into the ground.
Yeah, just fucking right into the... Look at the rock sort of like cracking up around his face and shit.
Yeah. The cop's just like, what the hell? Psylocke tries to be technical.
Confused. Like, she's like, I told you. Like, it's like, he doesn't mean to. It's the dog. It was a mistake. Like, they're just playing around. And even the other guy understands because he gets it. He's like, they're like animals. Like, he's like, don't worry, man. Like, the mutants have laws anyways. They can't kill humans anymore. They, they have a law that they abide by. And right as he says this, Empath, like, with the most evilest grin, yeah, look at it. It's like, he's like, yeah, man, that's what this group is good at, following the rules.
Yeah.
So evil and menacing.
Creepy as fuck. Bringing that sarcasm up.
And then cue the title page. Like, this is great.
Yeah, it's
this
good start.
Is like X-Force, where it's like, even before the title page hits, you're already like, oh, shit's happening.
Shit is going down, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, they enter into this room and kind of try to size up the room, but more.
Well, don't understand how creepy the fucking room is. It's an abandoned orphanage filled with like half naked dolls and like destroyed beds and like
beds.
Like weird stains and just right out of a fucking horror movie. Yeah. But I mean, this crew kind of diffuses it because you're like, oh man, it's scary, but then like, you know, there's Wild Child.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'll be fine.
But yeah, as this is happening, we get a Nanny kind of freaking out, more or less. Is like, I hear like the pleading, the cries of all the children. What do we do? What do we do? I gotta protect everything.
Nanny's here now. I have to protect you. And she leaps on the fucking Scalp Hunter's leg.
I love
even fucking Orphan Baker. It's like, Nanny, what's
going on?
She's like, what are you doing? She's like a dog dry humping his leg over.
Yeah, just like getting down on his legs, trying to love it as much as possible.
He's like, don't do that. It's weird. And she's like, don't cry, my sweet boy. Are you hungry, Nanny? We'll take care of you. Come to Nanny.
Come to Nanny.
I know you're hungry. He's like, get off, please.
Just stop. Oh, man.
And we're revealed, oh, shit, it's Empath. He's fucking with her.
Yeah. And Empath.
And Scalp Hunter, who is a man of his word, who like you foreshadowed, does the deed, and he's quickly becoming my favorite character. Kyle, if you will tell the folks what our delightful Scalp Hunter has done.
Yes. So as he said in last issue, he kept his promise, and he shoots him right in between the eyes. Actually, he threatens him first. He's all like, "Relax, it's fine." And whatnot. I was just giving her a little push, and he shoots her in the face. It shoots him in the face, right?
Yeah, he like laughs at him. Yeah, right in the face. Like he like Scalp Hunter's like, you son of a bitch, and pulls the gun on him. And he's like so disingenuous about it. He's like, oh, relax. She was already acting weird. I just gave her a little push. It's pretty funny, right? And then ha ha, and then blam.
Death.
And Alex is like, my God, like, what am I doing here? Like you people are fucking insane.
There's no protocol, nothing. I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
Everyone, and I'm like, Scalp Hunter is like, I fucking warned him. Mm-hmm. Nanny has been comforted, like a fucking Nanny. Orphan Baker are holding each other. Yeah. And Alex is having a breakdown about this. And Psylocke is the best. But she's
great.
I have to file a report now. Like, you gave me paperwork.
You gave me paperwork.
That's paperwork right there. And this is the beauty here, is that I always wanted them to play off of the fact that people could be resurrected now, and that death as a plot device in comics
is
now been thrown out. And now they found a new way to play off of it and have fun. Like,
this is a great way to play off of it.
If this is how Hellions is going to be, it is rising the ranks in the X-Men issues hard. Like, it's right up there now with X-Force and just some of the other good issues that we've seen. Like, the best of New Mutants is this caliber of comedy. So, like, I love it. And I love the smoke trail coming out of it.
It's great.
And look at the fear in Alex's face
he's afraid.
Psylocke is like, let's move. And he's like, dude,
what?
Like, I'm in the wrong group.
He's like, no, can I leave? I don't want to be here. I'll take the pit.
Yeah. It's like, I'm thinking about this, man. Yeah, he started. Yeah. Hey, I'm starting to think, what's with the public execution back there? It's like, maybe this is not a great fit for this team. And he's Psylocke's like, hey, the Quiet Council decreed it. Like, we're here. Like, it's been decreed, man. Like,
it's been stamped, everything. Ink's still wet.
Yeah, and Alex is like, yeah, but I'm emotionally unstable. Like, this isn't helping me. And he's like, who are you fucking talking to, man? Like, I'm psychic. Like, I can read everybody's mind. Like, everyone's fucking crazy. We're all crazy here. Yeah. Like, this team is exactly, we are all the group of people who exactly need each other, because we are the most broken on the fucking island, probably.
Yeah, she mentions, like, I hear your mind, you're all screaming. All I hear is screams. None of you are fine.
It's so none of us are fine, and he's just like, I guess you got a point.
Yeah,
And
good
as he
point, good
looks
point.
into like a broken shard of glass and sees
Right.
Madeline Pryor and holding him from behind, and
Right.
he's just like, what the fuck?
What? Yeah, he looks, and he looks up, he's like, look alive, and they're like, what?
Yeah, because he thought that she was coming up behind him, and
Yeah.
they just realized that they're in the cloning room, the old Marauder's cloning room run by Mr. Sinister, his clone
Right.
farm.
His clone farm. Yeah, so they're kind of looking around, right? I
Yeah.
think what's his name is rigging up explosives, scalp hunter, or what's his new name? I already forgot. I'm calling him scalp
Well,
hunter.
I mean, they went off of his, because I mean, is Gray Crow his
Gray Crow.
name as a code, or are they just shortening his actual name? Because last name is Gray Crow.
It's Gray Crow, so I assume they're just calling him Gray Crow now.
Yeah, because they do that sometimes with some of the mutants characters. They'll just use their last name because their last names are badass enough. Because comic books, people get awesome names for weird
Exactly.
reasons. So that's what they're doing. But at the same time, I don't know. They never really officially monikered it onto him. I think they're trying to be so hush hush about it.
Super subtle.
Yeah, but it's funny because Nanny's trying to comfort him in this really funny way where she's like, "This is where you were born and reborn and reborn again." And he's like, dude, I'm trying to
I'm
set
just
some like,
trying to fucking set up some explosives.
these are volatile explosives that I'm dealing with, right here. Could you stop bothering me, please? I'm
Please
ready.
give me some space.
Yeah, it's just I'm not here to talk about my feelings.
No.
I love he has to say that to her.
Right?
She's like, sorry about trying to nurse you back there, by the way. It wasn't really my fault. And he's like, no, I understand. And then instantly him and fucking Wild Child are both on the Wolverine alert. They're like, wait, something's fucking happening. And
Yeah.
They're on alert now.
Yeah, and that's when Havoc gets a little splat of blood on his shoulder.
Little splitty splat on his shoulder.
And that's when they
And
look
I love
up.
that. I love his faces in this. I love that.
Yes.
I feel like Havoc is just having a panic attack the
He's
whole
so
time.
tired. He's
He's just
like,
like, what's going on? We killed that
I need to go to a therapist after this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, that's when we run into that group that we saw from previous issue hanging upside down with a bunch of
Yeah.
holes in them.
Some of the OG Marauders
Some of
minus
the
Scout Hunter.
OG Marauders hanging upside down.
Still missing chunks of their body and their arms.
Yeah, and we get a little hand jazz going on,
What did they call them in the oh God, it was in the Avengers movie. Scarlet Witch, Kate Olsen, she had a name for it where she called them Funny Fingers or something. I can't remember. The name was
I
perfect.
do
Where
remember this, yeah.
after saying that, afterwards, I was like, oh, that's a great name for it. I like the parody of it where they call them fart fingers, where it looks like they're everyone's trying to fart when they're opening
Yes.
their hands and shit.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, we definitely get some jazz hands going on.
Little jazz hands and those jazz hands releases all of those marauder zombies onto the ground, and that's when the team kind of notices that it's the Marauders, right? They're like, oh shit, we know these people.
He's like, it's them.
It's
And
them.
he's like, well, what's left of them?
Yeah. And we cut to the conundrum of Mr. Sinister's Legacy's Marauders. And more or less, it's what is this what are we getting out of this? Out of besides the fact that we know which marauders they are.
This is what we talked about in the beginning of what Sinister essentially wanted to do, is that the Marauders is his legacy, but essentially Emma fucked him out of that and usurped it. And so now he's kind of like, well, all right, I guess I'll make a new legacy and with the Hellions. But it touches on a bit of the original OG Marauders legacy, and we get a rundown of who we're dealing with, like Arclight, Riptide, which I thought that's who we were dealing with earlier, but that was not. That was the
Yeah,
Jetstream.
stream.
Yeah,
Yeah.
with this Riptide is OG Marauder, Hellion, or Jetstream is OG Hellions, Riptide is OG
Riptide's
Marauder.
Marauders, yeah.
But it really, Riptide is just the Hellion version of Jetstream. Or Jetstream is just the Hellion version of Riptide, so who cares?
I'm really confused, though, editorial. Sorry to cut you off, but I'm really confused editorially why they just didn't give Sinister Marauders.
Marauders and Emma Hellions.
Emma Hellions. Like, if they saw this down the line, maybe they didn't see this down the line, I guess. Maybe Hellions.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't think so. I think later on when they decided to bring back Hellions, it was kind of like, what do we do about the Marauders? Fuck. It's kind of like a messy thing where they didn't quite. I don't feel that Hickman had this planned in mind. I feel like bringing back the Hellions was something that they workshopped and then they backburnered, and now we're getting, because I mean, look at it. This Hellions issue, we're deep into it. We're starting fucking Sword of X. Like, we're over with Dawn, and this is happening. Like, there's no way that they had planned on originally using Hellions.
Right.
Now, I get why they use Marauders, because they really were handing up the narrative that, like, old villains are now good guys, and that we now, the paradigm has changed, and that villain teams are now good guy teams. But still, it felt like Hellions would have fit so much better, and Marauders right here would have made more sense. Because, like, I look at this team and I go, all right, they do look like a Marauders team. Exactly. Sure, they've got Empath and he's an old Hellion, but still, like, this feels like a Marauders team. You got Sinister running the show. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. But instead, they're like, fuck it, we'll just rebrand because Marauders is taken, so fuck it. And let's see, we got Harpoon and Blockbuster, Prism and Scrambler. Scrambler's the cook.
Scrambler's the cook, yeah. Making all the eggs.
Yeah.
Cracking them eggs.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't seen any of these characters in like a decade.
Yeah, two. Only time I've ever seen them is when they're cloned and having to fight the X-Men again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Sabretooth is not here.
Right? Well, I guess we know why, but he would fit perfectly, right?
Well, but I mean, these guys are all clones. Like, shouldn't there be
Scalp
Hunter too?
Matter.
Like, should Scalp Hunter be here as well? Like, why is Scalp Hunter not a part of the group? Why is Sabretooth not a part of the group? Mm-hmm. They're clones. Like, they're all clones. They're not the original characters. So, I don't think, like, the Krakoan rebirth rebirth system would really stop them here.
Good point.
It feels like a weird narrative mishap. Like, it's like, okay. Yeah, I get Sabretooth's in the pit, but, like, why would his clone be in the pit, too? Or not be here, you know? Like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Nitpicking, it's no big deal. Doesn't hurt the issue. It just makes me a little confused.
A little weird, but, Yeah, we get, I already forgot again. Gray Crow.
Gray Crow, yeah.
Gray Crow is just like, what the fuck happened to you, Arclight? And he's just like, yo, we got a home now. We got our own nation. It's pretty swank. We party every day. Come join us. And she's just like, shh, queen is weird, like, Toy Story moment. I don't know.
Very much like a golem or something. Yeah. Like, it's the queen. That's spelled K-E or K-W-E-E-N. Yeah. The queen. I like that.
And yeah, we see Madeline Pryor, very subterfuged.
Yeah, with a giant fucking ruby, my god.
Yeah, that thing's huge.
Yeah, you could bludgeon someone with that thing. Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of recognize it's Madeline, and she's super like I'm all alone, like no one cares. She's like very like emo right now.
No, she's playing off of their loneliness. And she's being cryptic, but very, very aggressive with the fact that she's saying you guys were abandoned, you guys are rejected, you guys are the outcast, you belong here with me, they don't want you. It's almost like kind of playing off of it. And fucking Alex, who's already a shaking leaf, is like losing it now. He's just like, Alan, what the fuck are you doing here? Alex, like, calm down, man. Rain it back in. And then she just fucking adds fuel to the fire where she's like, ah, years ago, Alex. Ah, years.
Years. Oh, man. That's a weird situation, too. So on top of the fact that she's a weird clone that created a weird, like, time paradox, she also, like...
manipulated Alex against Scott turn him against him by trying to convince him to fall for her.
Exactly.
Which he was in love with her for a while, but that was all manipulation.
Yeah.
She snaked him against Scott pretty hard. And when he figured that out, he was like, ah. But it seems like here he's like still trying. Still kind like, of, let's talk, Maddie. Stop. Like,
he's got some feelings.
You only ever betrayed me and used me. Like, let's catch up. Let's get coffee. How you been? It's like hanging out with zombie clones. Cool.
That's exactly how a conversation. I don't watch it, but this is how I imagine a conversation from that. What's that show that everyone watches? The one where like sad guys from the States marry people from abroad that everyone's like watching right now. It's a weird reality show.
All I can think of is like the wife swap show, but no.
But that's pretty much Alex right now. It's just a, like, clearly everyone's just like, yo, bro, this bitch manipulated you. What you doing? He's like, nah, man. And look, I'm gonna.
Let's reach out to her. I'm sure we can handle this. Yeah. And then the fight just literally, and she's just like, slaves, take them, and that's it.
Yep. And he gets pounded on,
He squares off against Prism, which is like the one dude who could beat him.
Right? Like, it's ridiculous. Prism, this dude refracts everything. Like, what are you going to do? That's
He's even like, I'm useless. I don't understand what's going on. Oh, duh. Prism.
Come on. Get it together.
But let's be real. The show stealer here is Scrambler. He just goes around just touching people, going, scramble, scramble, scramble.
Yeah,
just and they just wrecked.
Yeah, just fucks with them. Just scrambles the brain and body, I guess. We get Nanny getting banged on a little bit. Then we get an orphan kind of helping out.
And he's blasting Blockbuster in the chest, but I mean, Blockbuster's got super endurance and strength, so that's really not doing as much. And Nanny's taken out 100% at the end because she falls down and is now like, I can't get off my back. It's like,
it's so ridiculous. She's just like wobbling around, not able to get up.
And everyone's like super aggressive and violent in how they talk, but she's always like very, very withdrawn. She's like, I'm going to take down your pants and give you a little spanking, you little monster. Yeah. She's like so refrained. I love it. She's like in perma-mom mode.
Yeah. And some fighting ensues, keeps going, right? And pretty much what happens is, we get a little bit of like some talking, some dialogue, them trying to prevent them from doing, hold on, what happens? What's this dialogue between John and who is this?
We talking about Blockbuster? The guy who crushes Nanny? So like
not Blockbuster. The female. If we go a little further after.
Oh, that's God, I can't remember her name. Was it Harpoon? I think it was Harpoon.
Harpoon. Okay. Yeah. So Harpoon's kind of like playing the game of like, no, we're good, and then bam, gets like attacked from behind.
Yeah, it was like a fake out to get
a little fake out happening.
And yeah.
So like the team's down pretty much, and all we got is Psylocke, and she's kind of like hiding behind some rubble, kind of regrouping. And as that's happening, she looks behind her and she's like, "Yo, I hear you breathing, talking to a wild child." And he pretty much is just like, "Yo, what's up? Oh, hey. I see you're injured there. You're kind of weak. Oh, I smell your blood. I smell weakness. Are you not the leader anymore? Let's see." And he pretty much goes savage on Quan'an.
Yeah, it was a pretty quick transition because everyone's getting taken out by pretty much all the people they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Alex is being distracted by Madeline, who's like, she's like, "Come to me, my lover, and talk with me." And they're walking off, and she's like, "Fuck, I can't do anything." And even Scalp Hunter is like getting taken out because he was holding it down pretty well. And you'd assume that now, okay, like Psylocke's like, "All right, time to like recollect the team and figure out what to do. Let's turn this around." And fucking Wild Child's like, "No, we need to decide who's in charge right now."
This is the perfect time to establish who's the alpha.
Yeah, because Scalp Hunter's out of the picture, and he was the only one reigning in Wild Child, so he immediately attacks Psylocke, and that's where the issue ends.
And that which
which was a bit of a big cliffhanger, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, I've liked how these are going. I'm okay with this cliffhanger. Like, I know that they're going to follow through pretty well. This is a very X-Force style cliffhanger.
Feels,
you're just like, oh, shit's going down. Next issue is going to be dope. Let's do it. So, fucking loving Hellions. My God, who knew?
Who knew? Who would have thought, right?
Not only New Mutants, but Hellions was going to be like some of my favorite issues in this.
Yeah. Well,
even Marauders for a bit was really good, but now Marauders is kind of trapped. So we'll see.
Yeah, Marauders is, it's whatever right now.
This gives me hope for X Factor issue one, though.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And overall, for the overall Dawn of X series, this gives me hope because it shows me that even with new series, they can still kind of do it. They can still pull you.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that was happening in New Mutants, a lot of stuff that's happening in Excalibur and Marauders, was hurting it to the point where I was thinking, all right, is the overall story just decaying? But this was like this breath of fresh air came in and showed you like, no, there's still shit fun to read here. Like, you can still have a good time and be an old school X-Men fan.
Exactly.
We're not stuck trying to tell this story waiting for Sword of X to line up, you know?
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. I was amazed when I told you the first time. I was like, Hellions is pretty interesting. It's a weird...
Yeah, you said it's like Suicide Squad. It was fun paced. The characters actually worked. The development was making sense. And I'm like, this doesn't sound right. Like, what are you talking about? Are you sure you're reading the same stories? Okay, let's check it out. You were fucking 100% on the head with that one.
Yeah. So I'm excited. To read more for sure. And we got X-Force coming out. We got some Juggernaut coming out in the future. And of course we got X of Swords coming out in the future as well. So it gives me a little bit of hope. Any standout moments in these two issues that you enjoyed?
Overall, I liked them. From start to end, each issue, like, very well. Like, every moment kind of had a scene-stealing moment in it. So it's hard to pick one specifically, but I honestly, I loved everything that Scalp Hunter was involved in and his way of responding. And I also loved Sinister's over-the-top responses to people's just their reactions to him and his reactions to them.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed... Scalp Hunter shooting Empath, keeping his promise.
Yeah, that's probably... I have to say, that's up there in at least the top three, but the first time Scalp Hunter punched Wild Child into the ground was probably where he did that crater, where he got clawed him, and he's like, it's all right, I got this guy, and then he like fucking clawed at him, and he said, I fucking got this, and then boom. Like, that was probably my favorite moment.
That was pretty funny. It's good. Yeah, and like you said, a good amount of humor, which helps.
Like, look at the development of Scalp Hunter in this. Like, in the previous old school, like, 90s Marauder issues and a lot of the older stuff where they throw him in, he was just a villain of the week kind of character. It was very one-dimensional. This, it's like, he seems like a badass, and that he's got a mindset that shows that he's gonna be a force to be reckoned with. Also, he's not one-dimensional anymore. It shows that he's layered. Yeah, that's what I like. Exactly. We got more development character-wise for Scalp Hunter in this one, in just these two issues, than Betsy got for all of the fucking so far run.
It's sad, but yeah, it's the Scalp Hunter definitely took the show in these two issues. He took lead. It's weird because he has this like apathy towards him, but he's like on board with everything happening.
Yeah, he knows how to work as a team. He knows how to execute tactics. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's always been like a merc on his team. It's like, he's usually thrown in, but he works alongside everyone really well. So that's why it's great having him in this, because he's not stepping on anyone's toes in the sense. He's only adding to the situation in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that with him. So I'm excited. Let's get down on some more Hellions to come. It's definitely a series we keep following.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what's to come. I wonder who else, if they're gonna add to the roster at all.
Yeah, I definitely know, and you've already kind of hinted at this, that Psylocke is going to flex her might in the next issue and show Wild Child who's the alpha, which is great because it's, once again, that's more character development with Psylocke and no character development for Betsy.
Yep.
What a curse. That's your new mutant power.
I mean,
I've entrenched in one encasing of time.
I mean,
one mold.
I'll be looking at Dex of Swords with like very judgmental eyes at Betsy going, show me what's up.
What do you hear to do in this arc, and what is your relevance? Because I know it's going to be a choosing of sides, or like a kind of, they're going to be torn. She's going to be torn, because it's going to be the whole like the UK versus Krakoa kind of story. Yeah, so we'll see. But I'm more excited about this. I'm more excited about Hellions issue 3 than I am X of Swords issue 1.
Indeed. This was fun, and hopefully we'll get more of this in the future. But that will do it for us this week. Any final thoughts, Danny?
I'm excited to do this these Hellion issues again. That's
it. Me too. This gives me hope. They always sprinkle in a good amount of flavor in between the blend. Give me a food that represents a metaphor for mediocrity.
Cauliflower.
There we go. Cauliflower's not bad. I'll take cauliflower. It's pretty bland.
Visually.
So we'll see. They always hook us in. So we'll see how it goes in the future. But that'll do it for us this week, folks. What are we doing next week? I already forgot. What's
I think we're on to I think it was the Nightcrawler standalone issue, right?
No, that was last week. Empire. We're not doing Empire. So X-Factor 1.
Really?
It should be X-Factor 1 and then Cable 2, yeah. I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So that should be interesting. Another new book. We'll dive into that. We're ignoring Empire, as we said. So we'll just move along from that. Nothing to see. Move along here. We look forward to X Factor next. So that'll do it for us this week, folks. Remember, the robots will kill you, and so will Wild Child. So better assert your dominance. Extend your arms out so you like look bigger than you appear. Whenever.
Go away!
Start growling at him. Yeah. The smellier you are, probably the.
You ever see that video that the guy like hanging out, the bear just comes up and chills next to him? Like, I just picture Wild Child doing that, like just out in the woods, like he's just prowling around.
Yeah, he just comes up to you and just like, oh fuck.
Hey, dude, what are you doing out here? Why are you growling at me?
Oh my shit! Oh my face!
Give me my skin back.